Praise the Lord. We are glad that you are here. And more, we're thankful that you are here. You know, it's good when people come because that simply means you made a choice and you came because you wanted to hear more of the Word of God. So praise the Lord for that. Again, well, I say every night, if without people here, we have no meeting. And so you help to keep the meetings going, and it's putting forth an effort. And I know those who work, and you know, you're maybe just getting home and just right quick you go back out again. But I guarantee you this, God will bless you for that.
Amen.
He will make up that time. He'll give you health and strength and make sure you make it through, because you know this thing here won't last forever.
Yeah.
Right? But heaven's going to last forever, and we want to be there, but we're going to have to get connected. That's our subject for tonight, getting connected with the Lord. Tomorrow night, we're going to be talking about God's perfect law. So as the meetings go on, they just, you know, they begin to get a little bit more in depth, and that's what we need to do as we study the Word of God. So those of you who have your Bible, pencil, and paper, be sure and jot down some of these things as we run quickly through them tonight as fast as we can about getting connected, the importance of getting connected with God. And may I say, as we start tonight, getting connected with God is just the beginning. Did somebody hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Getting connected, we say, oh, wait, we've connected. You know, if you're plugging in an iron, you're going to do some ironing at home. Once you plug in the iron, there still may be a little something else that needs to happen. There's other adjustments on that iron, isn't there? And so you turn it to the temperature that you want, and it has to be the right one, or you might burn something, you know, scorch something. My mother did that quite a few times at home on the shirts, but we still wore them anyway. I don't know anything about you folks, but we wore them because they washed and ironed. We're going to wear those things. But there's more things to be done. So as we get connected, so you might say tonight, well, I'm disqualified because I've already plugged into Jesus. Well, there's more than that. There is more to it than that. When we first give our lives to Christ, think about this with me for a moment. When you first give your life to Christ, that's called justification, is it not? Okay, how long does that take? Be justified with Jesus. How long does it take?
Moment.
Somebody say in a moment, and I'm going to get so happy.
In a moment.
In a moment, they're going to say it. In a moment, right? It just takes a moment, doesn't it? It just takes a second to be what? To be justified. Lord, I need you. Come into my life. You know, forgive me of my sins. Right quick, we are justified. And so we've plugged in, and now is there something else? Well, certainly as we go on in life, day by day living, that's called, the next step is sanctification, isn't it? Sanctification is a work of a lifetime. That's going, why? Because sanctification includes, notice this, it includes studying the Bible. Sanctification includes prayer. Sanctification includes witnessing. It's our everyday life, sanctification in Jesus Christ. Jesus gave us a good example, didn't he, when he talked about, we talked about last night, let them build me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. If you went into the earthly sanctuary, what would you see as you enter the holy place? Now remember, there was two places, right? Holy and what? And the most holy. There's many people who can't figure that out nowadays. They say, well, there's just one place. No, there's two places. It was in the earthly sanctuary. And when you first went into the sanctuary, the first apartment, what did you see? You saw a table of what? Showbread, right? And of course, and then you had the curtain over here, right? Was the altar of what? Of incense. And then you had the candlestick. And notice then, so you had you talk about table of showbread, that represented what? The bread. Jesus is the bread of life, so we're to study the Word of God every day, aren't we? The candlestick represents light. You know, Jesus is the light of the world, but we're to reflect that light, so that means we are to witness. We're to be studying the Word of God, we're to be witnessing, and then certainly the place, you know, we call the altar, right, in the very curtain, where the curtain was at, before the most holy place, altar of incense, it was what? That represented prayer, that we need to pray. And as that incense was there on that altar, you know, it would go up and it would go over the top of that curtain and go into the most holy place, representing the place where God dwells. Isn't that wonderful to know, as we see these things going on, that this is something, this is called growing up. You ever heard mom or dad say, "Boy, I wished you would grow up"? Did you ever hear that in your life? Bless your heart, I heard that a lot. Usually I'm the only one. I confess a lot of things up here. We're supposed to be truthful, aren't we? It's okay, because that's part of what? Part of growing up sometimes is to say, "I wished you'd grow up." That means get real, right? Do the right thing. So growing up, even in the church, growing up studying the Word of God, we need to be doing that. That's again called sanctification. You know, this lesson is going to help us, I think, to understand the importance of being connected to Jesus Christ and our growth as we walk with Him. So easy to figure out, we need to plug in. Then we need to figure out, we plugged in, now we begin what? We begin our walk with Him. This may be the big test of the Christian. The sanctification is how we walk along with Him. And then as we begin our study and we're thinking about being plugged in, surely the Lord wouldn't just leave us to plug in and then give us no help. See, to accept Christ in your heart, that's beautiful and that's wonderful, but we need some help to continue our walk along here with Jesus. You know, this is the point. Listen very carefully if we get nothing else tonight out of this. You know, where there is no power, there is no life. Are you still with me, church? Where there is no power, there is no life. You can have a nice, beautiful church just like this. You can have it teeming over, running over, standing room only. But if the power of the Holy Spirit is not present here, you might as well close the doors and everybody go home. Think about it. It's not, well, we've got a good leader, and praise God for good leaders. I'm not criticizing any of that. We need it. We have a good pastor. We have good leaders. Oh, that's all nice, well, and good. But the Spirit of God must be here to infect, as it were, in the right way, the pastors and the leadership here to lead the flock of God. And we need to have ears to what? To hear what's being spoken. And that will, right, or connected enough with it that we say, we want to follow. We want to follow that. Where there is what? No power, there is no life. I want that to make sense with you tonight. It's impossible to enter the Christian life. It's impossible, notice this, the Christian life, without receiving power to continue to walk. Remember, automatically expect it because it's promised to you, it's been promised to me. This is a step. But as we plugged in, God says, I'm going to give you special what? I'm going to give you special power. If you want that power, it's available to us. For instance, what happens to your home when the electricity or the electric bill, power's cut off? What happens to your house when you cut off the power supply? Well, it's pretty much useless, let's be honest, right? Nothing works in there. You know, have you ever had storms here where the power or something happened? We've had them in southern Illinois where maybe 2 or 3 days you have no power. Well, right quick, we're looking for extension cords. We're looking for a generator. Have the generator outside and crank it up a little bit and run a little 110. Try to keep the ice box going because we like to. Well, we're the only one like to eat, honey. The rest of them don't care. But I tell you, I did. I want to plug that baby in. You know? And sometimes when you want that generator and you want it to work, you know, you can't just leave it out there in the barn for 6 months and then when you need it, run out there and give it a crank. I guarantee you it won't start. Is anybody with me? That's the way it does. Sometimes we sit for months doing nothing, and all of a sudden somebody says, you need to get up and do something. Well, there's no get up and go anymore left in you. We need to be doing it. Pooh, I remember one time we had it in a house that had a basement, and the power was still on, but it rained so much that the basement was flooding. The sump couldn't, pull it all out and so on. And so I said, man, I've got to get me the generator. And then all of a sudden here goes the power. Power goes out. I have this new generator I'd never used before. I had it just in case, because it was a finished basement, but it had the sump, in it. And I thought, oh boy, here it comes. All of a sudden the power goes, sump's not going to work. I got that new generator. I'm smiling. I'm looking around out the window. Oh, probably the neighbors don't have this. Oh, Kenny, don't do that. I hope the neighbors have one too, And so I get out there and I crank, and I choke, and I spray a little bit here, a little bit there. Pretty soon you got blisters in your hands in between where you hold. Anybody ever done that? I say just sure determination, brother Dan. I cranked that thing until I pulled the rope plumb out in my hand. And you know what? I never had that one fixed, and I never dealt with that one again because I said, you let me down when I needed you. And I still have. That's been umpteen years ago. I still have that one. In fact, I tried to give it away to the mechanic down the road, was going to pick it up, and he didn't even take it. So anyway, we have to have things in working order, don't we? When the power goes, everything else goes. You might still be coming here. You might still be going through the motions, but there's something that's lacking, because the church that has the power of the Holy Spirit in the midst, where you're plugged in and I'm plugged in, we're all plugged in, I guarantee you good things are going to happen. Where Jesus is at, things happen. If things are not happening, then Jesus is not there. It's just that simple. Wherever he went, remember, wherever he walked, people touched his garment. He went into whole towns and villages, remember, and he healed everyone that was there. Something always happens when Jesus is there. You know, what happens, you think about, to the brand new car? You got a brand new car. You're smiling from ear to ear. Oh, you love this car, man. This is what you've been waiting on. And you go out and you're going to show it off to neighbors and friends and said, listen to this baby purr. Have you ever done that? Ooh, I said, you can't hardly hear that baby, right? Put that key in the ignition and you turn it and you hear click, click, click. Tell me what good that car is without a battery. A little, maybe $120 battery. You've got a $40,000 vehicle, and for the sake of just a little bit of money, it's useless. It's no good. Why? Because there's no power connected to where it needs to be connected. Another illustration you think about is there, I watched my wife do it last year there, we have some nice shrubs around the front of the house and some rose bushes and different things, and she's got it in her mind, you go out there and you cut those babies, right? You get the, and she's right, you cut those babies and cut them all back, those roses will grow up and they'll be fuller and there'll be more of them, and so others just bushes, and you know, level them so off, you know, you level, it's good to do that. And then, well, the time runs out for the day that they've all been cut. But you know what? Then next morning you go out there to gather them up and you're going to throw them all away, and you'll notice what happens when they've been severed from the vine. Just a matter of a few hours overnight, what happens? You see death setting in. They're dying. They're dead. What? They've lost their power. You see, we got connected, but somehow somebody got to fumbling around and messing around and they unplugged. They plugged the power source. Now, I'm thankful that there is a power source. And I'm thankful that we can go there tonight. I'm thankful that God works in marvelous ways. I can remember my brother and I, Danny, years ago when we first began, we've been in construction together for quite a few years. And I remember about this connection. And I remember about power. Well, you know, anyone with my dad always said a lick of sense. Somebody still with me here? I was talking to myself here. I was just finding somebody here. None of you ever heard that, because you all have good sense. You see, I didn't. You have a lick of good sense that when you go to change your saw blade, in the old time they were good, you know, steel, kind of not just a plastic handle there. It was an old Sears handle, 2 horsepower, and I was going to change the blade on that. And it had been raining and wet, and I had my feet in the mud, and I was sitting down on a pile of the plywood, and Danny was saying, come on, cut me some stuff and throw it up here. Hey, let's get done. And I said, okay, well, I'm not going to worry about unplugging that thing. I'm just going to go ahead and change the blades, you know. And I put my hands on that thing, and I'm telling you, it froze. It stuck. You know what electricity does? What's it do? It closes you. You can't open and throw it away and kick it away. You're boom. Like that. I thought, oh, no. And I said, that's not. I could feel the current going in, going through me, and out my feet. And I thought right then, if this something doesn't happen, I'm going. And I tried to look up. I tried to say, you know, my brother, help. Couldn't say anything. I couldn't let go of it. And, you know, the Lord is very good. And all of a sudden, my feet got tangled in the cord, which I knew that I was supposed to, when I had the extension cord, tie it together so it doesn't come undone all the time. You know what I mean? I was in a hurry again. I wanted to get done, so I didn't do that. And I thank God I didn't do it, because my feet got there and unplugged it. And when it did, I just opened up and the saw fell. Well, I was actually sick for a couple of weeks over that. We were weak because it was just quite a stress, because it had quite a bit of time. My brother thought I was fooling around up there. You know, Brother Danny, he likes a good laugh. And he seen me bouncing around on the plywood with this down here. And he goes, oh, boy, hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Some of you are not with me. Just don't tell him I said that. He thought I was fooling around and kind of jumping on the fly when but I wasn't. But I'm thankful there was this power supply. But you know, we need to be careful. There may be times that our feet may need to get into, you know, if we're in the wrong things and unplug from the wrong source. Praise God that there is a source of power. Remember that when there's no power, you see, automatically we become separated from one another. We become separated from God. The church becomes separated. It's not what it needs to be. We need to get connected, and we need to do it, you know, and the only source that can do that is, we know, is Jesus Christ. If we are connected, notice this, we will never fail. See, I like positiveness in the Christian walk. How about you? To be positive. If we are really connected to the source of power, our only source of power in the Christian life, we will never, ever fail. I like the way the Apostle Paul, man, I love the Apostle Paul. My brother said if he got there, another brother I have, it's just about a year difference between him and I, and he said when he was younger, he said, well, when I get to heaven, he was assuming, have faith, right? When I get to heaven, I want to sit down with Paul and say, why did you write so many hard things? You ever read some things that are a little difficult to understand sometimes, but you know, that's when we begin to do what? Dig in the Scripture and see what it really is talking about here. It's for our own good. But he's going to have a talk. Well, I'm sure he won't, but you know what I'm talking about here. But the Apostle Paul said it, I mean, such a wonderful way. After his conversion, it gave probably the single most perfect interpretation in just a few words of what it means to be a Christian. All kind of thoughts each one of you may have, but you notice, here's what Paul said. Now, remember, we're talking about what? Just a few words, what it means to be a Christian. We're talking about being connected. He said it just like this. Some of us might write papers and pages on it trying to get it figured out. And Paul said it like this in Philippians 1, verse 21. Philippians what? 1, verse 21. He said, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is what? Simply, is gain. Man, he had it right on target. He hit the nail on the head. Notice there's what he said. And it was simple. It wasn't 10 pages. It wasn't a whole book. It was just the very simple words. For me to live is Christ. That's Christ's plan for us as we plug in. It's to Christ to live where? In you. You are His representative. And I look at my life sometime and how ashamed that I am that I call myself a Christian. Because a Christian means to be Christ-like. Be careful what you say. Oh, I'm a Christian. And your neighbors see you. And not only see you, they hear you. Somebody with me. You left the windows up. They heard all about it. They heard the phone call. They seen a lot of shuffling going on, if you know what I'm talking about. And then we walk around and say, well, yes, I am a Christian. Well, we realize people can make mistakes and we can sin, fall short of the glory of God. But remember, we leave an impression. We need to be very, very careful about that because we influence somebody. And you know and I know when you hear something bad about somebody, you can't hardly forget that, but you can't remember the good. Somebody with me? You can remember a gossip and rumor, but you can't remember the truth. Does that work that way? I can remember as a little child seeing things that I probably shouldn't have seen. I can still remember them to this day. Boy, you know, I have a difficult time. I have to work at studying the Word of God and remembering passages of Scripture. Think about it. Think about it. Let's just look quickly as we can, the time that we have tonight. How do we connect? How do we connect? Oh, you say, well, that's simple. And we're going to look, how do we connect? And then we're going to say, after we've connected, how does our connection grow? We want it to grow. Don't just plug in and say, now I'm plugged in, I'm going to set back, I'm going to be once saved, always saved. Are you still with me? It doesn't work that way. And three, we're going to look at, as time is made for it tonight, we're going to look the results of being connected. Because if I am connected, there's going to be results, and you can't hide it. By their fruits, you're going to know the issue, whether you are, I'm connected. Well, your life doesn't show you're connected. Well, others can see it too. The fourth part is how the part that the Holy Spirit plays in and through us in as we connect in. It's imperative as the Holy Spirit and the work of the Spirit. And then we'll look as fast as we can on the essential gifts You see, the Bible, we look and God says, I give what? Special gifts to my church. You remember that? Those essential gifts? Necessary. They are necessary to live the Christian life. Gifts of the Spirit. Does everybody have a gift? Yeah, some people say, well, I don't have any gifts. Say, now be careful what you say, because the Bible says everybody, the Holy Spirit's given at least one, right? Maybe you can't find it, and I don't know why you can't find it. If you can't find it, there'll be others that will help you find it. Really, you think about it. Other people will come, and they will notice the gift that the Holy Spirit has given you. They'll come up and say different things. I'm not trying to brag on anything or anybody, but to make you aware that's a gift that the Spirit's given. Use that gift. It's important. Getting connected to Christ means entering into a new life in Him. The Bible is very clear on that we need to do it. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 brings it out rather clearly, I think, to us. Therefore, notice what? We are what? We're buried, notice that, with Him by baptism unto death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should what? Walk in newness of life. See, I love those passages. I tell you, this makes me want to go. This makes me want to do something. This makes me want to shout from the mountaintops that something big is taking place, because we can be a part with Christ. It says here, therefore, we're going to die as it were. Something needs to die. The old man needs to die. But also, as we in death, spiritually, we need to also come up in everything that's new in life. Oh, I like that. We know that without Jesus, we are incapable of accomplishing anything good. Okay, we're talking about connected, right? We all agree with that. You know, I personally, is it okay to say I'm sick of things up front? Of course, I'm always good at going ahead and saying it anyway, and then sometimes people write cards and letters and say, don't say things like that. Don't say things like that. Well, sometimes you have to be in the man's shoes. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you have to be there. One lady wrote in one time and she said, you're just too difficult sometimes. I tell you, just blah, 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 just let it out. And she said, and I thank God that you have a wife, because that wife will keep you centered up. She will take and calm you down just a little bit, because I get a little too, you know, maybe. This is one person's opinion. But the wife, she said, will help to balance it out. Well, praise God. If you have a good wife, right, help to balance it out. I need to be balanced out. I need to be plugged in. And so, you know, but sometimes I just get kind of, you know, sick and tired of some of the things that are going on as we look in life. Because some people will always try to take credit for things. This is my point. Are you still with me? Well, we won so many. So I won. You didn't win diddly. I don't know if that's a word. It's all about Him. It's through Christ, right? No individual can win any soul. You know, we can be the instrument. We can be the vessel. Praise God. And that's exactly what He wants us to use us, is to present Him to the world. But it's all about Him. You know, oh, we have such a wonderful, if there's any good thing that come out of man, it must be Jesus, because there's nothing. If you've ever seen anything good come out of me, it's not me, I'm going to tell you up front. It's Christ who lives within, because you're plugged in. I can't take any credit. People talk about 3ABN and raising up 3ABN and all this stuff. I hear that with all my ears. I know who did it. I know who did it. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, who did it. I watched God work. My brother watched God work. When there was a need, God worked. When there was another need, God worked. He performed one miracle after the other over and over in such quick succession like you wouldn't believe. You have to realize that God has people in positions, and He appoints different ones because they will just simply listen, because sometimes didn't know it couldn't happen. We didn't know you couldn't build a satellite station. You know, it was new back then. Didn't even have cell phones when we started. Oh, that's horrible, isn't it, young folks? I get ready to go out of the house, first thing, honey, do you have your phone? None of you hear that, right? Do you have your phone? Well, no, I haven't thought about the phone. Oh, my. She said, Walmart, went to Walmart, it was yesterday. She said, you have your phone? No, We have to have your phone, honey. You got to have your phone. I may need to get a hold of you. We may get separated at Walmart. Okay, let's let it go. It is true. Say, I'm telling you the truth. Bless you, honey. Thank you. At least you're not pointing your finger like some do at others. You know, praise God. From whom all blessings flow. It all belongs to Him. He's in charge. And we give Him the praise for everything. He says, I'm the vine and you're the branches in John chapter 15. You remember that. We won't go into it. We've talked about it before. But as we get connected, as soon as we get connected, we begin to seek things that are above and not below. See, while you're still connected to this world, you're standing snooping around like I almost said a rat. I won't say that. See, snooping around here on the ground looking for things you shouldn't be looking for. Are you still with me? But when you get connected, all of a sudden the eyes goes up, right? The head goes up. Our redemption draweth nigh. We begin to set our mind up on heaven. Somehow we have to have a vision of heaven and how much we want to be there. And is it worth it to be there? Oh, yes. Yes. Get connected. Oh, that's what the Bible says over and over and over. To hear those words that Jesus talks about a group of people, He says, you are my sons and my daughters. Whew, I almost have to get a hanky out on that. To think about being, He called, hey, son, come here. Daughter, come on. Sons and daughters of God. How wonderful that is. I don't care. He don't have to call me by any kind of name. Just call me son. He can call me what He wants. Just come on. Come here. I want to be there. Are you still with me? We worry about names. We worry about somebody calling us something that doesn't. When Jesus calls, all I want to do is hear. And all I want to do is respond. All I want to do is answer when He calls. In my conversion experience, and I won't go into that tonight, but in my conversion experience, when He came to me in a dream that changed my whole life, my whole thought pattern, when He came to me in that right there, I heard the voice, and He said, Kenny. Ooh. Kenny. He didn't say, hey, you, or what you up to, you're not doing the right things. It was endearing. It was sweet. That stuck in my heart. He said, Kenny. And I'll just tell you what He asked me. He asked me a question. He said, Kenny, do you love me? And let me tell you, I knew, even in that dream, I knew He knew everything about me. There was no trying to get out of it. There was no trying to make excuses. He did it. She did it. They did it. They caused me. I knew He seen right through me. I was thankful for my answer, but I didn't realize I was lukewarm. But I knew I had to tell Him the truth. You know what I said? Yes, Lord, I do love you. Number one is, as soon as I heard the voice, Kenny, He said, Kenny, I knew it was Jesus. I'm talking about here. This is not what sometimes we think we're plugged in. We think we've got it all together. We think it's all right. Because remember the sheep, they what? They hear what? The sheep hear the voice and then they follow. I heard the voice. One, Kenny, I knew. I said, yes, Lord. Do you love me? And I said, man, I don't. Yes, Lord, you know I do. And then He began to name some things that need to be changed, and I'm thankful that He did. He challenged me simply, not all these things, and not dragging me through the dirt and the mud and trying to make me look bad, as it were. He didn't even go into detail. Do you love me? That's what He wants. Are you plugged in? If you're plugged in, you're going to love Him. You're going to be looking up and you're going to say, oh, yes, this is what it's all about. We're looking above now. I'm not going to be looking down. That's where the serpent's at. Are you still with me? That's the old devil was cast down to the ground. But I think, you know, we talk about sons and daughters of God. Remember, we call sons and daughters of God, but remember, we are, but we will not escape some of the tests and the trials that are in this life. But I guarantee you this, He will enable you to get through them. you'll be able to get through these tests and the trials that so easily beset everyone else. Not that you're any better, but you have selected a better choice to be ahead of your family and your life. He promised that he would be with you. He said, oh, Kenny, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He said, oh, God, help me to be faithful to you, that I would never leave you. I know you won't. I worry about myself. I don't want to leave. I want to stay plugged in. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. Notice what the Bible says. When the Bible says it, it is truth. And it's up to me to grasp that truth and by faith to walk in that truth with the help of the Master. It can be done. It can be accomplished. This Bible is full of such promises that I'm telling you, just blows your... It's okay to say blows your mind. I read them and I'm saying, you know, it's too good to be true. It's not, but it seems to be. How could he do this? Why would he do these things? And he just simply says, do you love me? Get connected. What did he do? What did he do with the disciples, the fishermen? When he walked by, what did he say? Somebody say, follow me. I'll just get so happy, so tickled. He just simply said what? He didn't ask about your job. He didn't ask about whether, you know, all this hands stuff in the world. He just simply said, follow me. That shows whether you're plugged in or not. Whether you're a disciple of Christ is when he says, follow me. Were you willing to do what I've asked you to do? And you're willing to do it. You are one of his. You are plugged in. That's proof. If you make excuses that, no, you're not one of his. Hebrews 12, 7 said, reveals this. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with what? Sons. We're talking about he calls us, we're sons and daughters. But notice, we're going to go through tests and trials. And he says, he's going to maybe chasten us. He's going to give us a little spanking once in a while. Now, are you still with me? For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? We say we love our children, and every once in a while they need a good spanking. Oh, yeah, he said, well, we get arrested for that day. Well, just go ahead. The Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child. And that's exactly why the world is in a mess that it is, because about a bunch of spoiled children, and some of us 50 and 60 and 70-year-old spoiled brats. Is it okay to say that too? I couldn't help it. I got carried away. But as a Christian to say, I cannot correct my child, something's wrong with you. Something would be wrong with me, because the Bible, God Himself has already proved that, not in an abusive way, but in a corrective way, because He said, I correct you. And I guarantee you, we'd rather have a little spanking from God sometime, physically as it were, than some of the things that He allows to happen. They can be very hurtful, can't they? Some of the things that we go through. But I know He will do it as lovingly as He can. My dad always said, this hurt me worse than it does you, and I didn't believe him. But when I became a parent and had to whip my own, correct him, I understood. Come on, church. I understood what he said. I understood it. Had to spank mine a few times, and I found that it, well, quite a few times. Let's tell the truth about it, isn't that right? Lots of times. Especially our oldest son, because he needed it just like I did. He took after his dad. But you can still be plugged in and still correct. God says, I correct the ones what that I love. And I loved him, and I didn't want to see him go the wrong way. So here's the correction. As my dad always said to me, here's what will happen if you do, and here's what's going to happen if you don't. And then I'd have to give a verbal, loud yes. Then he said, okay, now we're without excuse. Now you know. If I chose to do the other, he did exactly what he said. I loved it because my dad always kept his word. You couldn't talk him out of it if you did the wrong thing. And you knew and you admitted, you know, you said, yeah, I know, I understand. You didn't talk him out of it. He followed right through. He was as consistent as the day is long. It helped me to realize a little bit as our Heavenly Father is. Our Heavenly Father is consistent. Stay plugged in. We must be plugged in. We know the enemy is at work. He's going to wound. He's going to try to poison. He's going to tear the homes apart. He's going to try to tear the marriages apart. He's going to try to tear your soul apart. Why? Because, number one, he's angry because you're here. Don't let him put a smoke screen on you. The enemy can't do anything against you unless God gives permission. Are you still with me, church? This, to me, is very important. I can't handle the enemy on my own. No one can, but we realize because when we're plugged in, God said, I'll fight your battles for you. Man, I have to believe that. When I was younger, I'd like to fight my own. How about some of you? Is that right, Brother Danny? It's okay. It's okay because God is teaching us, isn't He? Life of sanctification. He'll fight those battles for us. Sometimes we have to turn the other cheek. We have to walk the other way. We know that we have to be able to withstand the onslaught of the enemy as he throws everything he can against us, just like he did Jesus. We'll never understand all he did with Jesus, but you understand my point. We must rise above the situation by God's grace. We have to be so far above this earth, even though our feet are still here, that we breathe the air of heaven. Think about that. Breathing the air of heaven. How desperately we need that, but at the same time, we hold on to His hand and we stay plugged in. You see, that's the important part. Are you breathing this old stingy, stale air that my wife was talking about and some of this worldly air that we have down here? Let's think in terms spiritually. Or are we breathing the air of heaven, the freshness, the delightfulness of that fresh air that the angels' wings sometimes waft against us? You know, heaven. It's going to be worth it all someday when we see Jesus, no doubt. So living the life of Christ, then we become partakers of His divine nature. Does that make sense? See, we have to have divine nature. That means we're cooperating together. I'm human. You're human. We need outside help that we always talk about here. We need divinity. We need the life of Christ. We need the Spirit of the living God to cooperate. Woo! Jesus said, yoke up. You remember? Yoke up with me. If you've got a burden that's too heavy, He said, let me take it for you. Who else will do that in this world? You have to go through what you go through. Let me do it for you. I'll show you a better way. Stay plugged in. I like that about divine nature, because having divine nature means that we can, by the grace of God, defeat the enemy. Every time he comes against you or me, whether it be habits that we may have that we shouldn't have, the eyes are looking at things they shouldn't be looking at, the ears are hearing things they shouldn't be hearing, the mouth is saying things that they shouldn't be saying. Are you still with me? Thinking things that shouldn't be thought. That's where sin begins, isn't it? Up here. We begin to think it, and then once you let that transpire, all of a sudden it begins to come out in actions. You don't want that, and I don't. That's why immediately we expel it when it comes in our mind. God, have mercy. Send some angels. Send some angels. First thing when temptation comes, you dart a prayer to heaven. God, have mercy. I need some help. Ooh, and you know what? I know I've been reading, and I know you've been reading too, where it said God would rather, what? He'd empty heaven of everyone up there rather than to see you, you know, lose to the enemy. Think about it. He would empty heaven if that's what it took. If the battle was that great, He would empty heaven to come down and fight the battle. Read the book of Daniel, see where Jesus had to come down and turn the tide. He's willing to do that for you. He's willing to do that for me, to defeat the enemy. That's 2 Peter 1:4. Boy, I'm moving slow, brother. Pray for me. That's why you have these handouts. We'll just go as far as we can go, time allows. 2 Peter 1:4 tells us, whereby are given us, what? Unto us exceedingly great and what? Ooh, does anybody think about precious promises? How often do we thank God? Thank God for your precious promises that you think about. How often have we prayed? God, thank you for those promises that you've left for us. Notice that by these, what is it now? By these. What does that mean? We're thanking God first. Come on, let's dissect just a little bit. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious what? Promises. Now, because He's given us the what? The promises right here, that by these you might be, partakers of divine nature. How can you be partaker of divine nature is claiming the promises of God. Does that make sense? Claim those promises that He's left right here, and we have that divinity inside of us. The enemy cannot defeat you while divinity is inside. That's an impossibility. Why? Because Jesus never lost a battle, did he? He's never lost a battle. He was face to face with the enemy. He's face to face. It's been a battle. It started up in heaven, and the old devil was thrown out like he should have been thrown out. And the enemy came as an angel of light, right, to face the faith of Jesus Christ, pretending to be an angel of light. Jesus knew Scripture, Brother Doug. Jesus knew Scripture, and the devil always likes to try to quote it, but just get it close, like some of these new versions of the Bible. Now, I know some people don't want to hear it. That's all right. And think about it. When the Bible, when you start reading the Bible, when it says a day or the day, it makes a difference, an a and a the. All the difference in the world, and we have to realize that. Jesus spotted immediately. Remember, the devil was what? Was he not masquerading as an angel from heaven? Yes, he was. You think the devil's going to come in the devil's appearance? No. He doesn't come to you that way either. He makes it look pretty good. Makes you think you might get away with it. And you might for a little while, but I guarantee you it's going to blow up in your face. If not here, in the world to come. What? How do we know that? You know, God is trying to reach people. Have you ever seen a like in the time that we live in, where our leadership many times, as in our country, all of them, not all of them, but many of them have been caught. I'm not trying to criticize them. I'm just simply saying, why do you think some of these things have been brought out in the open? I say it's because God loves them. He sees something in them worth saving. And He's calling them and reaching them, but first they have to admit that they've done something wrong. We have to admit we've sinned and we've fallen short. We've pulled this and we pulled that, but we haven't pulled the wool over God's eyes. Does that make sense, church? And that's all I've seen, and different ones keep exposing, different ones, and some of these abusers and stuff out there. God loves them. He's willing to forgive them. You and I look at it and say, well, they're unforgivable. Man, we don't like these kind of... Watch your tongue. God loves them, and He's trying to get their attention. He wants to save them in the kingdom, and He can do it. But they first have to come to the knowledge. These precious promises, that you might be partakers of the divine nature. Notice, then, because you have divine nature, you're going to escape what? The corruption that is in the world through lust. We're going to escape the enemy. We're going to come head to head with him. But by God's grace and divinity in us, we're going to be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. I'm not just going to be a conqueror. My Bible says I'm going to be more than a conqueror. I'm not bragging about anything here. I'm just saying that's what the Bible says. The Bible says you're entitled to that if you want it. Does that make sense? You're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. But why is it we turn around and lay down and quit and say, I can't take it anymore? Somebody call me a name. Somebody said something ugly about me. Oh, friend, if you can't take that, you are in trouble big time. And I am too. We have to be able to take that. They called Jesus every name in the book. He never answered. He didn't have to respond to that. They did everything they were big enough to do. He still never responded except, Father, forgive them because they don't know. What a God. What a Savior. Well, someone's doing that to you and doing that to me. Do we have that kind of relationship when your neighbor's hounding you and it's getting sickening what goes on all the time and the words, whatever it might be, that you can say, Father, forgive them. He just really doesn't know what he's saying, or he wouldn't do it. That takes Jesus in heart. You and I can't do that. We want to sass him right back. Are you still with me? Getting connected means, once again, setting our affections on things that are above. Remember, if your mind's, they say, down in the gutter, down here in this world, that's exactly what your character is going to end up like. Does that make sense? What we behold is what we become like. By beholding, we become changed. Behold Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior, and you will be reproduced. There'll be a reproduction system going on that will be like Jesus. And remember this, when His character is fully reproduced in us, He will come. So He's not waiting on anything else. Not waiting on all the prophecy, even though we know it's going to take place because the Bible is true. All he's been waiting on all this time is when there is a people that love him with all their heart. When his character is fully reproduced in us, I say, God, have mercy. I'm a long way off, but I want it. And I know that it can take place because he said it can take place. Does that make sense, church? I want it to make sense. I don't want to keep saying it over and over, but we don't want to dig so down deep, and all of a sudden we say, well, we're not getting it. We're getting this to be like him. Man, we need to. The promise is in his word. Two important points here quickly, about 10 minutes maybe max. Notice it. Number what it says here, we must seek to obey him. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17. I think it's on there. Proverbs 10, verse 17. Talking about the man here, it says, he is in the way of life, he that is in the way of life, and that keepeth instruction. But he that refuses reproof does what? He errs. What does it tell us right here? If you're in the way of life, if you want eternal life, you want to do the right thing, you're going to keep the instruction that God has given you here in this book. Does that make sense? Here is the instruction booklet right here. There is no other one. Let somebody tell you, oh, well, we got another book over here. Brother so-and-so, he wrote this. That all good, but let me tell you, I don't care what brother so-and-so, I want to make sure brother so-and-so said what's here first. And I'm going to check him to make sure that it is. I can't afford to be deceived. I'm not that smart. And I tell you, I know as we study the Word of God, you can spot a counterfeit real quick. You can spot somebody that doesn't know, understand what truth is real quick. And you can spot the devil every time because he comes as an angel of light, but he's telling lies. Think about that for a moment. If. A lot of thoughts come out and starts out with if. Do you think heaven is going to be like conditional? Are there conditions in, to make it to heaven? Somebody say, Oh, church, somebody shout. Yes! Yes! Their condition. He's the way of life. You got to keep what? Instructions. The instruction book. I give you the book. You keep it. Yes, there are conditions. Everything is conditional. Every promise that God made here in Scripture is based upon what? On condition of obedience. Does that make sense? Everything here. That's why a lot of people get messed up when it comes to the Jews, the Old Testament and the New Testament church. Who is it? We have to really look deep here in the Word of God and ask Him to help. If you be risen with Christ, Colossians 3, 1 through 4, I may have skipped this a little bit here quickly, but it's okay. If you be risen with Christ, what does it say? We just talked about it. We're going to be seeking. Again, this is what? This is conditional. We're going to be seeking those things that are above. We're going to set our affections or our minds on Christ or on heaven. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? We'll skip right on down. Second point, we must be hid in Christ. Think about it. We must be what? Hid in Jesus Christ. No longer I, but Christ. We're hid. We stand behind the cross of Calvary. We don't want to be seen anymore, but we want Jesus to be seen and we want Him to be heard. We'll go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. It says, above all, taking the shield of what? Take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Isn't that right? The devil's shooting at you. You are a target. And he's got that old arrow and it's on fire and he's aiming it at you and he's shooting. We need that shield, do we not? Of faith. The shield that they had in the time of war there had leather and stuff on it. So when those fiery darts came, then it stuck into that leather, it put the fire out. If it didn't put the fire out, it was going to start a fire. Did you get it? The devil shoots fiery darts at you and me, hoping they will stick so it'll start a dirty little fire. Oh boy, I tell you, I might as well sit down. Think about that. He's up to old tricks. He has to be exposed. He doesn't want to be exposed. That's why day by day we fight the good fight of faith. That's all we know how to do. We know everything, it seems like, goes wrong. I don't care if you go pull up to a stoplight. I don't care if you try to buy groceries. And what you do is all kinds of things. All right, is that true, church? All kind of things the old devil's trying to throw at you, discourage you, get you all upset. But you know, we have no time to get upset. We have no time to get upset because the Bible is so clear. As we are connected to Christ, as we're receiving the power of Christ, we're accomplishing things through Christ. And then he makes it and lays it on the line. One of the most familiar passages in Scripture in Philippians 4:13 says something like, I can do some of the things. Somebody will say, learn your Bible, Pastor. Read it right. The Bible says what? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can't do it. I'm too weak and vacillating. But he said, I can do it through you. This is good news. That's a promise. We must realize our dependence upon God and not on man. Well, we're dependent on this group today. We're dependent on that group over there. Don't depend on man. They'll let you down. You can depend on God. He will never, ever, ever let you down. You say, I want to be on your side. He said, good, I choose you too. Come on. The old devil said, I want to take him back. Say, no, I'm not going back over there. I've been over there long enough. I've been over there long enough. I want on Christ's side. He chooses us. He picks us. He wants us to be, because in 1 Corinthians 3:9, it said we're to be laborers together with what? Yes, we're to be laborers together with God. What a privilege that is, church. To think that God, it's okay if I get personal, would choose you, choose me to work together with. I see a lot of other people that would be sure more qualified than I am if he wanted to choose someone to work with. But see, he doesn't look at you and me the way other people look. He looks at your heart. He looks at what you would like to accomplish. He looks deep down in. It's not the most eloquent. It's not the one that has all the things beside their name, if you know what I'm talking about. And those are all right, but I'm simply saying that's not what he's looking at. We've written a lot of good books. We've done a lot of programs. We've done a lot of that. How's your heart? Kenny, how's your heart? Do you love me? Wow. He did that 3 times to me, by the way. And all 3 times I answered. The last time he said, Kenny, do you really love me? If you do, there was conditions. You can say it. I admitted I did. But it was in a lukewarm way that I wasn't even aware of. The devil was doing his job. That is dangerous when you're lukewarm and you don't know that you are. You think you're hot. That's why Jesus said, get hot, right? Cold, don't be lukewarm. He said, I'm going to spew you out. Really, in this hour that we live in, as our time is wound down, we haven't got to the... We need maturity in our connection, all the things that we talked about. We need the Holy Spirit and all the conditions that it plays on here. That, remember, there comes a time when we must get away from the milk. And we need to get into the meat. And I'm talking about we need to get in some heavy meat. We're in that part of Earth's history where we need meat. And remember, many pastors are not giving meat from the pulpit anymore because the devil has sidetracked them into side issues and just pleasing and trying to get by. And, well, be careful. Wait till retirement. Are you still with me? I've been around a long time. I've talked to an awful lot of people in these positions. I'm not just making it up. To have a pastor of 30 years basically tell you sometime, as he did me years ago, said, I got 2 years. I thought we was going to have a Revelation seminar, and I couldn't hardly wait to tie into Revelation 13 and 17. He said, I'm not going to do that. I said, well, why not? He said, I've got 2 years to retirement. This doesn't mean all of them are that way. We're just talking about these are things we have to be aware of. We have to realize that may be happening. And then how are we being fed? We're not being fed if that's the attitude of the leadership of any church. Leadership has to be strong in the church. Set the right examples, and I guarantee you the sheep will follow. But if you're weak and vacillating, I almost said go find another job, but I will say it. If I can't do what God asked me to do, I need to get out of the pulpit. If I can't do what God wants me to do, I need to go do something else. I need not stay and hinder the cause of Christ. We're too close to the coming of Jesus. We need the meat of the Word. It's nice to have milk as we close, I know. The milk is good for those who are new and coming in. Praise God for that milk. I think I was on it way too long. But once I tasted the meat, are you still with me? Woo! I'm going to have to say spiritual meat for some of you, because some of you are like, oh boy, licking your chops. Listen, we're talking. Are you still with me? I'm not trying to make you hungry here. I'm just trying to make, really, sometimes, what people say, well, they're licking meat. Is that we need to get on. We are, the Bible says we are unskillful if we stay on the what? On the milk. Huh. Strong meat, the Bible said, belongs to those who are, notice, they use the Word of God. They habitually use the Word of God, and therefore the meat has become strong. They want the strong meat. They need that. And then with that, they are able, you are able, I am able, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, to discern between good and evil. That's what it is. That's why we need that meat right now. Labors together with God. My prayer is for each one of you tonight. And I'll somewhat quote what Jesus said there, I think, in John 16:12. Jesus said, I have yet many things to say to you, but maybe I cannot bear them right now because of the time. Let's get plugged in. Let's get connected. And don't let anyone take it away from you. Don't let anyone take your crown. There's no one worth it. Are you with me, church? There's no one worth losing your crown. Plugged in, justified, sanctified. That leads right on into perfection of character, into the image of Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, stay close to Jesus. Put your hand in His hand.